Good morning. This is Yah the Yahweh. We're talking about the new moons. This is the program, fresh program from 2014, the book of Genesis, Bereshith, in chapter 1. And this shows the first mention, the first place of mention about the new moons. And Yahweh said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And Yahweh made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And Yahweh set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night. Or actually it should be the other way around, to rule over the night and then over the day, and to divide the light from the darkness. And Yahweh saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. If you went back earlier in that chapter, chapter 1, you see that in verse 3, Yahweh said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So he was lying down the principle, or laying down the principle of light in his law. Yahweh saw the light, that it was good, and Yahweh divided the light from the darkness. Yahweh called the light day. He called the darkness night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. But we read in verse 18 there, the first place of mention about the new moons. Then we can also go to Isaiah chapter 1. But before that, we could have gone to Exodus chapter 12, the first place of mention about when the new moon should be established. But I've got Isaiah here, so we can skip around. We can do that. Isaiah, or Yeshayahu chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, shows that they were not keeping Yahweh's new moon Sabbaths and feasts, but they were keeping it in their own ways. They kept it with a wrong spirit, but they sometimes kept the right day. So here it is in Isaiah, Yeshayahu, Isaiah the prophet. And by the way, in verse 1, it shows who is speaking here throughout the entire book. Some say that there are several Isaiahs, that there are three of them, but I only see the mention of one here. In verse 1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz. And there's not a mention in anywhere else in Isaiah of a different Isaiah. So we dispel that misconception. Isaiah 1:10, "Hear the word of Yahweh, you rulers of Sodom, give ear unto the law of Yahweh, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith Yahweh? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams, and the fat of fed beasts. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of the he-goats." Now we have to understand that he did command these offerings, but the offerings for sin were the added law, as we've seen in many other studies. I think it's Ezekiel chapter 20 is one proof, and perhaps Jeremiah 7 is the other one. But anyway, I can help you out with that later about the added law. Galatians chapters 2, 3, and 4. Isaiah 1:12, "When you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations." Don't bring any more vain oblations. "Incense is an abomination unto me." That is the way that they are offering it anyway. With the wrong heart, with the right not with the right motive. So, "Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me." The new moons and Sabbaths. The new moons and Sabbaths. So, the new moons are legitimate here. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourself, make yourself clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. That's also found in the book of James. Come now and let us reason together, saith Yahweh. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Oh, how I love that book of Isaiah. Now, it did say that the way that they were keeping the new moons and the appointed feasts, that Yahweh hates the way that they did it. And he's speaking here to Sodom, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, or at least symbolically he's speaking to them. Generally, he's speaking to the children of Yisrael, if we look there at the beginning of the chapter. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for Yahweh has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. So there's, you know, we hear a complaint about, well, that sounds too negative, but there's negative and positive all the way through Yahweh's word. You know, in the New Testament, there's 1,050 commands. Where in the Old Testament there is said to be 613, but I count 212, and then they are repeated, basically repeated. But another scholar, Hezekiah, says that there's actually 613 in the Old Testament, in the Torah there. But anyway, we don't do math here, and we will move on to Isaiah. Chapter 66. We heard the bad news was on Isaiah chapter 1, but in Isaiah chapter 66, we hear the rest of the story here at the end of this book of Yeshayahu 66, verse 22. And it says, from one Sabbath to another, and from one new moon to another, we can come to worship the King of Kings. So there are many opportunities, more than just once per week, to study, pray, and teach. And someone is doubtless going to say, well, I don't believe this study that he's doing, because we don't have to keep the new moons. They're not a high day. Well, we keep them as a common day. They're moeds. And we could get into the Hebrew words, which I would like to do, and we're not set up for that right at this moment. But Isaiah 66, 22, for as the new heavens and the new earth, so here's prophecy now. He's forthtelling what's going to happen in our future, not now. This isn't for yesterday, even though it's found in the Old Testament. This is prophecy. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith Yahweh, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yahweh. Yes. So it sounds to me like it's not just from the Feast of Trumpets to the next Feast of Trumpets, but it says from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another. It will also bring that out in Jeremiah 31. No, we'll bring that out also in 1 Chronicles 23. And it isn't bondage to praise Yahweh, who is our deliverer and Savior. So it's going to take a moment here to turn to 1 Chronicles. And we have the 23rd chapter for you here as I turn on YahvehYahweh.name. Chapter 23, verse 27 through 31. Actually, verse 25. For David said, Yahweh, the mighty one of Israel, has given rest unto his people, that they may dwell in Jerusalem forever. He's given rest back in chapter 22, verse 18. He's given them the rest. That's what we need, is his shalom. And also unto the Levites, they shall no more carry the tabernacle, nor any vessels of it, for the service thereof. For the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above, because their office was to wait on the sons of Aaron for the service of, for the service of the house of Yahweh, in the courts, chambers, and in the purifying of all the set-apart things, and the work of the service of the house of Yahweh, both for the showbread, and for the fine flour for meat offering, and for the unleavened cakes, and for that which is baked in the pan, and that for which is fried, and for all manner of measure and size, and to stand every morning to thank and praise Yahweh, and likewise at even. So this is for all of us to do. And even if it were just for the priests alone, do we consider ourselves a priest of Yahweh? We could look at in the book of Peter and the book of the Revelation and several places in the Brit Kadashah, and we would find out that we are priests. If we are saved and we are to do Yahweh's service, we are doing that priestly duty for Him. I think the Levitical priesthood was probably just for that Old Covenant period, but now I could be wrong. I could be wrong in that, in fact. And verse 31 now, and to stand every morning as to thank and praise Yahweh, and likewise at even, and to offer all burnt sacrifices unto Yahweh in the Sabbaths, in the new moons, so the feast days and the new moons, and on the set feasts by number, according to the order commanded unto them, continually before Yahweh, and that they should keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the charge of the separated place, and the charge of the sons of Aaron, their brethren, in the service of the house of Yahweh. So we need to know who is he speaking to, the children of Israel, or just to the priests there. Here it sounds like that they are just doing it for the priesthood, so that's just for us who are waiting and serving on Yahweh. And that was in 1 Chronicles 23. Jeremiah, though, is our next reference in chapter 31. 31, verse 35. And I keep the new moon by the crescent. Some do it by another method. Some even keep the new moon before it's new. They keep it in the old as the moon wanes away. It disappears. Then they keep the new moon into the conjunction period there in the dead of the moon. Some keep it during that conjunction period, which is actually more than just one day. And then the rest of us keep it at the new moon crescent, at the first appearance, the first light, as it appears in the west near sunset after 29 or 30 days. No 28, no 31, just 29 or 30-day periods. And I think we can bring that out later, I hope. And then again, I may not be able to get to that far today. All right, Jeremiah 31:35. Thus saith Yahweh, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon, and of the stars. So that's an ordinance. The moon is an ordinance. And of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea, when the waves thereof roar, Yahweh of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from me, saith Yahweh, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Yes, when do we see Israelites keeping the new moon? All I've ever heard in the past was the Israelites keeping their Hanukkah tradition. That only goes back 2,500 years, but we're talking right from the Torah. We need to do things right from the law of Yahweh. If we don't keep his law, it demonstrates that we don't love him, and perhaps that we're not even saved to begin him. I said perhaps now. Let's not go judging everyone. Then if we judge people to hell or to heaven or wherever you would put them, then Messiah would have no judging to do when he came back. He can't be the king and the judge if we've already done all the judging for him. So let's not say that that our loved ones died and went to heaven or went to hell. That's judging. But judging a person's character and shaping them up and doing an ascertainment, we might occasionally have to do that. If somebody is way out of line, we need to check and use a little bit of discernment. But that's off the subject of the new moons. So back on it, Jeremiah 31. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith Yahweh, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation from before me forever. Thus saith Yahweh, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith Yahweh. Praise the name of Yahweh. We did Jeremiah 31. And it shows that the new moons are ordinances. That's right, ordinance. And then we go to first place of mention. We did Genesis chapter 1, but let's also go to Exodus. First place of mention about the new moons. It's either chapter 10 or 12. Makes it a little easier. Exodus 12, chapter 12, verse 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So that's the first place I mentioned about the new moons. Because we have to have the new moon at the beginning of the year. And that would be around the common months of March or sometimes in April. First we wait for the equinox and then the first new moon after the equinox, according to the scriptures, as we've read before. 16, verse 1. Observe the month of Aviv. Now, the Aviv, the first head of the barley, is as a result of the new year. It doesn't, the new moon does not come because of Aviv, but the Aviv comes because of the new moon. Which makes a big difference, actually. I don't want to dwell on that. We're just on the scriptures about that we do need to keep the new moon. As to how you do it, look at some of the other references that we have available for you about the Tikvah, about the equinox there, the equinox. Deuteronomy 16 now, observe the month of Aviv and keep the Passover unto Yahweh thy mighty one. Now, do they keep Passover at most of the churches? So keep the Passover unto Yahweh thy mighty one, for in the month of Aviv, Yahweh thy mighty one brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Thou shalt therefore offer the Passover unto Yahweh thy mighty one of the flock of the herd in the place which Yahweh shall choose to place his name there. And where does he choose to place his name today? Since he dwells in the hearts of his believers, I believe that he dwells in our hearts. He chooses to place his name in our hearts, although Jerusalem, and to a greater extent, New Jerusalem, the one to come, will be the place to keep his set feasts, his set-apart feasts, and his moeds as well. Now, if there's not going to be a moon or a sun, I don't know how we'll do that, but we shall ask him. I'm not the so-called scripture answer man. I am a former pastor, and I'm a student of the Word. I love to study the Word. Numbers 28, verse 11, and in the talking about the burnt offering every Sabbath, beside the continual burnt offering and the drink offering. And in the beginnings of your months, that's the new moon, you shall offer a burnt offering unto Yahweh. Two young bullocks, one ram, seven lambs of the first year without spot. So, there we had. And then, verse 11. Then verse 14. And their drink offerings shall be half a hin of wine unto a bullock, and the third part of a hin unto a ram, and the fourth part of a hin unto a lamb. This is the burnt offering of every month throughout the months of the year. Now, someone could still set forth, well, who puts out the lamb? Is it just the Israelite, or is it the priest? Well, in those days, it was the priest who did that, but it demonstrates here, and there must have been a congregation present when the priests were there, but it demonstrates that they are indeed doing this every month, not just at the Feast of Trumpets, and not just in the New Year. So this is the burnt offering of every month throughout the months of the year. And one kid of the goats for a sin offering unto Yahweh. So that's Old Testament law, when we are under the law, under bondage of the law of sin and death. So we could move on now. I think I've done that well enough for you. Also, Hebrews chapter 9, and then we'll come back here, but Hebrews 9. So it was Hebrews 9, verse 8. This is very, very important, very paramount, that we understand about Yahweh's law, and that includes his new moons, as we shall see, as I shall demonstrate for you, that the added law wasn't Yahweh's commands to worship, but the added law was sin offerings, which ended with Messiah's death. So this shows that here. Oh, Jeremiah 7 was 7:22. I told you earlier, so that's correct. It was right in front of my nose. Sometimes I can't see it. Jeremiah 7:22 and Hebrews 9, verse 8. Verse 8, okay. The Ruach HaKadosh, this signifying, let me just back to verse 7. But under the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people, for the transgressions, it should say, of the people, the Ruach HaKadosh, thus signifying that the way into the set apart, the most set apart of all, was not yet made manifest. Of course, that would be the Messiah who died on the tree at Calvary. Was not yet made manifest while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure. The tabernacle was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. And it stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. What is the time of reformation? Next verse. Messiah being come a high priest. Messiah. Not Christ, but Messiah, or Yahusha, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once. There you go, Adventists, by his own blood he entered in once, not into a different compartment, but once into the set-apart place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And you could go on there in chapter 9, chapters 8, 9, and 10 about this, that he entered in once. He didn't go into all kinds of different compartments of heaven or from one to the other in 1844. He didn't do that. And I don't want to offend you by saying that. I don't want to step on any toes. As I love you. I think we all love each other enough. We have that affection for one another. Okay, Jeremiah 7:22. We have that affection for one another to not want to step on each other's toes. But sometimes we must at least be reasonable and sit down and rationalize and reason through the process of what is and isn't the word of Yahweh. What it is. Here it is, Jeremiah 7, about the added law. I spake not unto your fathers, this is verse 22, I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day. Of course, he did speak to the fathers. But about what? Hang on now. I spoke not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt. Concerning what? Concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices, but this thing I commanded. Oh, so it wasn't burnt offerings or sacrifices, but what was it? He said, obey my voice, and I will be your mighty one. I will be your sovereign. Or they have your G-O-D, which is a common word, but then I will be your sovereign, and you shall be my people. And I said, walk in all the ways that I have commanded, that it may be well unto you. So that was Jeremiah 7 that tells about the added law, and also it tells about that in Ezekiel, I think it was chapter 20. Now another place that, another reference that came to my mind as I was reading this is in Genesis, Abraham was keeping Yahweh's charge. Yahweh's charge. He kept his commandments, statutes, and judgments even before Moses. So that was hundreds of years before Moses was ever born or was ever given the Torah by Yahweh, or by Yahusha, actually, by the Son. And that was in Genesis. I think it's chapter 24 or 27. It's real easy to find, but we need to move on here. But that's interesting that Abraham kept the charge, the commandments, statutes, and the judgments. So we've had Genesis chapter 1, Exodus 12, Deuteronomy 16, Numbers 28, Jeremiah 7, Hebrews 9, Isaiah 1, and Isaiah chapter 66. Let me do the 66 again to reinforce the idea that we are to keep the Sabbath and the new moons. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith Yahweh, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yahweh. Yes. And we said 1 Chronicles, and I think we did Jeremiah 31. Yes, we did. 31, 35. We could also go to Ezekiel 45, 25, but some will say that this solemnity here, it groups the Sabbaths, the feasts, the new moons as solemnities, so they're all in one category. A new moon is a moed, so it's not a a high day feast day. It's not that. It's not a seventh-day Sabbath. It's not a hag, but a new moon is a moed in the Hebrew. But it's a solemnity here. It says in Ezekiel 45, some could argue not into a heated argument, but they could argue or discuss and say, well, that's just about the Feast of Trumpets. But Ezekiel 45, 25 through chapter 46, verse 3, is part of my understanding about the study of the new moons. And I believe that. I'm so convicted about it. Ezekiel 46, 3 is a direct call in the word to worship Yahweh. And remember, there were also daily offerings, much more so on the new moons. You could look at the number of offerings that were made, and there were much more, bigger offerings, a lot more, on the new moons. In Psalm 104, well, Psalm 81 first and then 104, to keep it in order there. I'll wait for a moment here and let you, until you're there. That's enough. Tehillim 81. Sing aloud unto Yahweh our strength. Make a joyful noise unto Yahweh of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with a psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed, on our solemn feast day. For this is a statute for Israel and a law of the Yahweh of Jacob. And once again, that as well possibly could refer to just the Feast of Trumpets, but I'm not going to be dogmatic and say that it is. It doesn't say either way. But I believe that's a beautiful reference there to the blowing up the trumpet every new moon. That's what we do. Some people will say, I'm not going to do it because it's the new moon, and I'll only do it on the Feast of Trumpets and some of the other feast days. I'm not going to do it on the other new moons. Oh, they won't blow that trumpet. And And, of course, most preachers will not blow their trumpet at all in their church. Oh, that would be Jewish to them. That would be bondage. Colossians 2:16, you know that, don't you? So we are to keep Yahweh's new moons here. It says, in respect of the new moons, they foreshadow something to come. Not something that was, but something to come, Paul says there in Colossians. And this is kept by the Jews and Gentiles, and that the body of Messiah should be the judge, not outsiders who don't know anything at all about the first place of mention of where these concepts are in Scripture. As I turn here to Colossians and try to thumb over to it. But the body of Messiah, but the believers, the ones who have been faithful and responsible to study the pertinent passages dealing with each subject, with each teaching, they are the ones who are to be the judge about these things. So I'll read in Colossians 2, blotting out, I want to read verse 14 for you. I'd like to do that. Colossians 2:14, I'll briefly have a comment. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Well, that is the certificate of indebtedness, that our record of sin, was done away with? Wow! Really, our past sins, our past repented ones, not all of our past, present, and future sins were done away with by Messiah at the tree at Calvary, just the ones that that we repent of, that we don't keep deliberately doing over and over. If we accidentally repeat some of the sins, and we have been trying to for example, the sin of adultery, which is, I know, quite common, and that's a very controversial, tough subject, but that's also very tough for a lot of people. Also, gossip is a very, very tough thing to overcome. You know, that's an abomination. So blotting out the record of sins that were against us, not the Ten Commandments, not the statutes, not the judgments, but the handwriting of ordinances. The if you looked up the Greek word for that, it's on the tip of my mind. Studied it yesterday. No, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it. It's not going to. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the tree. So he nailed not the law, but the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. You know, the death penalty, the temple sacrifices. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So he didn't triumph and jump and stomp all over his father's Ten Commandments, or his Ten Commandments, triumphing over them in it. Therefore let no man judge you. But who is to judge? Verse 17, but the body of Messiah. So I'll read it. So that's the way to make sense. Let no man judge you, but let the body of Messiah judge you. That's not just only your local assembly, but any believer could judge a certain matter about the feast day. So here we go. Let no man therefore judge you in what? In eating or in drinking about the feast days, right? Yes, not just, overeating, that's a sin. Overdrinking is a sin. So let no man therefore judge you in meeting, or in drinking, or in respect of a feast day, or of a new moon, or of the Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body of Messiah can judge you. The verb is in italics in the King James, and that was an added word that they thought that they were making sense, and then other versions came up, but the substance is Messiah. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Let no man judge you, but the substance is Messiah. Is that a logical statement? Well, it's true, but it's not a logical statement. Let the substance of Messiah. You know, that's a heavy Greek thinking there, if anything. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink about the feast days, the keeping of the new moons, the feast days, that these things in Deuteronomy 14 concerning the feast, the eating and the drinking, are commanded there. So that we are judged by Yahweh's word, and then if we know what his word says, we can judge whether or not we should eat or drink. And regarding Passover, we drink the wine, some drink the grape juice, the pure zappa, the pure grape. Oh, yes, it's so late this morning, we got to move on. But that was Colossians 2, Luke 17, after we've, and then we'll get back to the Torah, okay? Because I skipped Psalm 104, so I'm going to get back to the Luke 17, 9, Matthew 4, 4, Deuteronomy 8, 3, says, man is not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. After we've done all in the Torah, in the law word, in Yahweh's word, after we've done all the Psalms, the prophets, and the prophecy and the letters of Paul, we've even kept Yahweh's new moons. We're only unprofitable servants. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. What else can we do? We can keep his word not in the letter alone, but be enabled by the Ruach HaKadosh, by the Spirit of Yahweh. The Spirit of Yahweh will help us to minister and to obey, certainly. Let's see. We didn't touch on Amos yet, but Psalm 104, 19 and 30 and 31. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. He appointed the moon for seasons. Amos 8:5, Nehemiah 10, are regulations with the Sabbath and the new moon. Most likely, the new moons are to be kept and upheld. We're to keep his law, and most likely to be kept similar to the non-high days, like unleavened bread, Pesach, or FOW, the Feast of Weeks, or FOT, the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. About the non-high days are similar. They are like these moeds of the new moons. And regarding the new moon, we do have quite a number of contrasting ways that people like to keep the new moon. We have moon watchers, we receive maybe 50 different studies on ways to reckon the new moon. And some of them we'll consider, but, I'm not going to get something in the mail and read it and then say, that doesn't, I'm going to quickly change to that person's method. And then another letter comes along, I'm going to keep this one instead, and then a third one, and pretty soon I've changed 50 times. But the new moon is something visible. And this view might differ from yours, but be assured it is not a personal attack on your character. A new moon is something visible. It doesn't just, the moon doesn't disappear and become a new moon. No, that's the old moon, in our mind anyway, in our understanding. And this is an orderly, logical, systematic way to understand the new moon. Yahweh is not illogical. So the logical way is when the moon appears. Okay, now it would be neat or easy to make the full moon fall on the first high days. Now, some people like to make the full moon fall on the high day, but we would have to move the new moon back or forward. We'd have to move it anyway, and that wouldn't be legitimate, to move the moon so that the high day would fit with the full moon, or that the full moon would fit with the high day. So that doesn't really have any merit to it, to adjust the calendar according to when the full moon is visible. Even if you use Psalm 81 or 84 or something, it's not a legitimate way to do that. So we'll go to the scriptures now. There it is, Amos chapter 8, verse 5. And I'd have to back up. This is the place where it says, behold, a basket of summer fruit. Then saith Yahweh unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them again, and the songs of the temple shall be howling in that day, saith Yahweh. Sovereign, there shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. Hear this, O you that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail. Saying, when will the new moon be gone? Now, why would they say that? Well, of course, if it were the Feast of Trumpets, a new moon, well, that's a high day. And so, obviously, it would be that you can't do any work on that day. You can't buy or sell. But this can also apply, possibly, to all the other Moed new moons. Saying, when will the new moon be gone that we may sell corn? And the Sabbath. And once again, that the Sabbath word here could possibly apply to just the Feast of Trumpets. That we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit. That we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes. Yes, and sell the refuse of the wheat. So this is a passage here that does mention the new moons, and that Yahweh is condemning us for taking advantage of the poor and dealing treacherously with them, which is against his law. We're not loving our neighbor if we're dealing treacherously with the poor, especially if they're the poor in our own assembly or some believer of some type. Oh, there, I spotted that article, What Would David Do? How did David know that the new moon is tomorrow? And this is from Nehemiah Gordon from Karaite-Corner.org. Karaite, Karaite-Corner, K-O-R-N-E-R, so he's not spelling it with a C, Karaite Corner. Now, how did David know that tomorrow is the new moon? Anyone observes the new moon for a couple of years will immediately see that every lunar month is either 29 or 30 days long. There's no such thing as a 28 or 31-day lunar month. If the atmosphere is clear, the new moon will always be visible after either 29 or 30 days. There's no need to project Hillel II's calculations over 1,000 years back into the time of David. All David had to do was know that a lunar month can only be 29 or 30 days. The Hebrew language also clearly reflects this knowledge. A 30-day month is called a full month. A 29-day month is called deficit month, or deficient month. There's no such thing as a 28 or 31-day month in Hebrew terminology or thought. If the moon were not sighted after that 29th day of the month, David could say with 100% certainty, tomorrow is the new moon. There's nothing unusual or esoteric about that. There's or extraordinary about this statement. Such a straightforward prediction could be made for about half of the months in any year, in any lunar year. So what would David do? David would actually, without doubt, follow actual visibility with 30-day maximum. Obviously, potential visibility is a product of the 20th century. Potential visibility, we do our computer calculations or we get a Jewish calendar, and that's a calculated potential visibility. We could argue that it's really a product of the 9th century CE with some later fine-tuning. But either way, potential visibility could not have been known to King David any more than he knew about airplanes, telephones, or texting. So now we're going to Nehemiah chapter 10, and in time we will look up the Hebrew words. This word new moon in here, is it singular or plural? In Nehemiah 10. For the showbread, and for the continual meat offering, and for the continual burnt offering, of the Sabbaths, of the new moons, plural, for the set feasts, plural, and for the Kodesh, or pure things, and for the sin offerings to make an atonement for Yisrael, and for all the work of the house of our Yahweh. All the work. See Isaiah 66 again there about the keeping of the new moons. So that was 10:33 in Nehemiah. Also 10:13, or excuse me, Nehemiah 13, Nehemiah 13, verse 19. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut, and charged that they should not be open until after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set I at the gates, or I set some of my servants at the gates, that there should be no burden brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and sellers of all kinds of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them and said unto them, Why do you lodge about the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth, they came no more on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves and that they should keep the gates to sanctify the, or set apart the Sabbath day. Remember me, O Yahweh, concerning this also, and spare me according to thy greatness of thy mercy. In those days I also saw Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab, and their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. I contended with them, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by the sovereign, saying, You shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their sons and daughters for yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him who was beloved of us, Yahweh, of sovereign, and made him king forever of all Israel, and made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. So that was Nehemiah. And then I'll finish here at, we're close to an hour into the podcast today on the new moons here on Yahweh Yahweh. So I got to finish up with Jeremiah chapter 31, and this is a repeat, but I want to emphasize this very much on the conviction to keep the new moons, to keep it this way, to have a service on the evening, on the Erev of the new moon, of the Moed, and also, if possible, have one during the daytime. Now, if any servile work has to be done, then it can be done. Most of us take the whole day off, but not everybody can do that. We're not commanded to take the day off of the new moon. But if you would like to do that, and you can without losing your job or putting somebody or a large estate in jeopardy, then go ahead and enjoy the day. It's always a great, refreshing blessing to me to have a new beginning every month with Yahweh and his new moon. Jeremiah 31:31, Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yahweh. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith Yahweh, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their sovereign, and they shall be my people. And they shall no more every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know Yahweh, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Yahweh. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith Yahweh, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divides the sea when the waves thereof roar. Yahweh of hosts. Not Lord. Lord is only a title, and it's a common word. But Yahweh of hosts, in the original, YHVH, from right to left, YHVH, Yahweh of hosts is his name, or Yahweh of armies. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith Yahweh, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. And we praise Yahweh and lift him up. Praise the Son, Yahusha, The Son is not to be esteemed over the Father. That could be idolatry, possibly, but the Father is greater than I, Yahusha said in the book of Colossians. So the Father is greater than the Messiah. But evangelicalism seems to put the Messiah, put the Son greater than the Father, and they neglect of worshiping the Father. The Father comes first and foremost, and we bow down, we bow our heads, we bow in worship, and we lift up our set-apart hands, and face Jerusalem, and we bow down, we wear the proper Hebrew attire for the men, the beard, and the tallit, having the tzitzis on it. That's commanded right next in Deuteronomy 22, right next to the laws about sexual purity. And it's not a separate commandment that was just put away in the side of the ark, so it didn't really make any difference. Those laws in the side of the ark, by the way, also concern sexual purity. So if you're going to do away with the law about the new moons, the beards, and the tallit, the Hebrew attire, then you need to do away with the laws of sexual purity. Thus, we have the abomination in our land. Have a wonderful morning, a wonderful day or evening, wherever you happen to be. And we'd love to hear from you and make sure that we are addressing the areas that you want to be addressed. I'm not going to just do the Torah readings, going from cover to cover to read the scriptures. We're actually studying the Word. That's what we want to do, is study Yahweh's Word, not just read it from cover to cover and read some Jewish assignment or another to do the Torah reading. That's fine and good, but we need to go beyond that and study to show that we are approved unto Yahweh, a workman not needing to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the Word of Yahweh. And let's put it all together, concerning a particular doctrine. Let's study everything about that particular teaching or doctrine all the way through. Well, that's all I've got, all the advice I have for you and for myself. So I'm signing off, finally. And parts of this broadcast are being broadcast to our communist enemies here at home and overseas. Shalom.